Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Today, my guest is James Dunnigan. James is a Marine Corps veteran who is here to talk about his transition out of the Marines, where he went to college and learned about some of the veteran internship and career resource programs that are available, as well as a company that he started while he was in college. So welcome to the show, James. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure, Scott. Thanks for having me. My background, the best way to describe that is I've had sort of three major life phases. You know, I tried to play baseball as long as I could. And like a lot of people, my career didn't go as long as I wanted. So when that ended, I was like, you know, okay, now what? And I had been wanting to join the Marines anyway out of high school, but I knew that I had to pursue baseball first. You know, I couldn't do it the other way around. And so I joined like right away within a couple months of my baseball pursuit being done. And I was a little on the old side. I was like 22 when I signed up, I think 23 when I went to boot camp. So that was, you know, doesn't sound that old right now, but when you're in boot camp and, you know, you've got senior lance corporal, 19 years old in charge of you, it's old.
Yeah, I was 24 going through boot camp. So I was probably in a very similar boat to you.
Yeah. So I did one enlistment and that was always the plan. People ask me all the time, why'd you only do one or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, I don't need a reason to only do one. I need a reason to stay in, that was always the plan. However, I must say, I grew up in LA and if I had gotten stationed on Camp Pendleton, you know, that may have changed the course of my career. I may have stayed in just because the effects on my social life would have been less drastic. Being across the country on Camp Lejeune made maintaining relationships difficult, especially as an introvert like me. You know, it's just a bit of a bigger shock on my support system.
Yeah, for sure.
Needless to say, I got out. But I don't regret anything. You know, I got what I wanted out of it. I got what I needed and then some. And before joining, I didn't know what I didn't know, but I knew I would find out. And that's one of the major reasons I joined. I wasn't satisfied with my life experience or my opportunities at the time. You know, both my parents stayed in hometown in LA, you know, a small blue collar neighborhood in LA. So I knew that they didn't even know everything that was out there. And I have like this major, you know, curious mindset, exploring mindset. So I just had to get out. And I knew that was one major way of doing it. So that's essentially how I ended up there. And then obviously military is, you know, the next big phase of my life. And then phase three, I think I'm just starting to start it. You know, in between two and three is a transition phase, like being a student. I started school as soon as I got out. I finished my bachelor's degree as soon as I got out. Within a couple of weeks, I was in classes. With the whole GI Bill thing and using your benefits, I strongly recommend challenging yourself with your workload. I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't been in college in like 5 years or something like that. And what being a good student really is, in many ways, it's just prioritizing, and you're just so much more mature and you can prioritize, you know, your classes, even if you're kind of dumb, like if like incredibly average IQ, you can prioritize your classes and just put a little extra effort and use techniques that you learned in the military for learning, like in just like 12 units is full time. And that's nothing, man. Right. It really is nothing. So I ended up doubling up. I was in like 25 credits at once. So I had an associate's degree before the Marines. I doubled up on credit so that I could finish that 2 years of undergrad in 1 year's time. And then that left over some GI Bill for some grad school. I don't recommend you doubling up like that, especially if you're in like a hard science. you may regret it, but I do recommend challenging yourself with your workload. Don't accept like what 18-year-olds can handle as what you can handle. It's, you know, completely different people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you hit on a good point is, you know, when you're getting out of the military, you're obviously older and you're more mature than the 18-year-old kid who just graduated high school, who's going into college with pretty much no life experience other gained from high school time, you know, that time period. You know, so you're going to be able to do more and prioritize a little bit better and not be as easily distracted with all the parties and the, you know, everything else that people think of college, you know.
And with that workload, I didn't have time to like party every week, but I had plenty of time to do it every other week, you know, a couple times a month. That's right. Plenty. That's more than enough. When you have a light at the end of the tunnel, like a year, I only have this heavy workload for a year. I can handle, you know, being social every other week for a year before this burden of this heavy class load is done, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I still didn't fully have a direction though. I thought I did, and I thought I wanted to be a cop. So the degree I chose, you know, the way I went about choosing my major was, you know, I got out in December, and most universities don't accept spring transfers. So I had a couple options, either wait for fall. So I would be sitting stagnant for 9 months until August when the next term started. And most universities accept transfer students, or I could find, you know, select few schools that accept spring transfer students. So I could start classes right then in January. So I opted for that, the latter. I started. And then, so from there, I had to decide what majors were available. And my school did not offer business. I went to one of Penn State's satellite campuses. So it was a small, like 4,000 student campus, and they didn't offer business. So my next option is, what do I enjoy learning? Not necessarily what's useful, because I was, you know, again, thought I was going to be a cop. So you just need a degree to earn, you know, a bigger paycheck.
Right.
So I chose history, and I was like the worst choice ever for giving yourself options. You know, it's really interesting. Cool. So what? And you learn a lot. You know, I learned a lot of good stuff, but not useful for a career unless you want to be in some kind of history career, which there's not a lot of jobs. Right. So yeah, I don't recommend that route. But again, you know, I thought I had a plan. But the longer it was on a timeline from me getting out of the military, the less I wanted to be a cop. And I think it's because I had this lifestyle for, you know, 4+ years of being gone all the time and having this wild life, training, deploying, being all over the world. And it left a bad taste in my mouth because it was on the military's terms. And it really impacted negatively my social life and things like that. So I think I wanted to just go far on the other end of the spectrum and just settle down, get a stable career with solid benefits and have a local ass lifestyle, you know?
Right.
And that's how I felt when I first got out for several months. But those feelings wore off the longer I was removed from the military. And I began to realize that that's not necessarily what I wanted. I could be okay with a similar lifestyle. Well, it's hard to replicate that lifestyle, but what I mean is traveling, being gone, not necessarily being stable and staying in one spot in like a nice, quiet neighborhood. If I could do it on my terms and stop doing it whenever I felt like it or have whatever balance I decided I needed. So, at about that time, you know, I was like over halfway through the hiring process with a few police departments in the LA area. And I got invited to the next stage in a couple of them. And in that same week, I got accepted to an MBA program at Pepperdine. So, you know, that week I had like some major career, you know, life altering choices to make. And I went with the MBA route. I'm glad I did.
Well, you know, and even that gives you a lot of options too. You know, because you can go into business, you can, you know, start your own business, which you know, is certainly a possibility. And, you know, should down the line you decide that you want to do something different, you could probably do something like that too.
Yeah, I think if you're struggling on a direction, just go with a business degree, because it'll give you more options for any field you could possibly think of to go in. Right. Even if you wanted to go, you know, in a non-business field, they're still going to use business skills, because they like are an organization. Even if they're a nonprofit, they're a business.
Even nonprofits are businesses, and they, you know, any company that you work for is a business. And so they're going to need someone with some business skills who can.
And every company to some degree is going to need some kind of marketing. You got to at least know some things. So I can't think of as many scenarios, you know, unless you're getting into, you know, the medical field or something. And even then, there's still healthcare admin degrees out there. I can't imagine many scenarios where a business degree wouldn't help you or look good.
Right.
Yeah. And I lacked any kind of business knowledge, because I never had any business influence in my life. My dad was a residential single person general contractor. So just a guy in his truck, you know, going around doing room additions and home renovations and things like that. And he like has no business background or knowledge at all. So it was a big transformative learning experience to go to business school, definitely. Yeah. And you know, I don't think about anything the same way anymore, for the better. And yeah, so my concentration is actually entrepreneurship. And I did in fact start a company for that class that is now making pretty good sales, actually. It's I don't know if we want to talk about numbers and stuff, but I'll just say the first few months were slow, and then it exponentially grew. You know, in many months it doubled from the month prior, and now it's steady, and I'm looking to scale it up. So, and I've got a version 2 of that product that I'm prototyping right now, and I've got a second entirely different product that I'm prototyping right now that I think is going to be an even better seller than the first one. That's what I would consider phase 3 of my life. You know, the school part was transition.
Right.
Now I'm in phase 3, which is like the real world. It's not paying my bills yet, though. I'm not paying myself. It could pay my bills, you know, but I'm choosing to not take money out of the business in order to scale it up.
Right.
So I'm still trying to figure out the career side. I'm trying to plan it so that I need to advance my career as if I didn't have my own business. And then when that business makes it, I just up and quit.
Right.
So.
And that's a nice thing too, because that gives you some options, you know, where if all of a sudden you're turning in the sales, you have these options that you don't need to be working for somebody else necessarily, you know?
Yeah. And that's one way of doing it. There's a couple ways of doing that, actually. There's pros and cons to the different approaches you take. Like if you start your own business and you plan on quitting your job in the future when your business takes off, you can go a couple of different ways about it. One is how I just mentioned, try to advance your career and make that career your priority, at least while you're during those working hours, not while you're off working hours. And that way, whatever happens with your startup, you still got your career going and it's advanced. You weren't stagnant in it over the past 3 years. Many people in general, whether they start their own business or not, they have a job that is only exists to pay the bills and fund their real lifestyle. And you see this a lot in athletes who aren't necessarily professionals. So like rock climbers, I've been in jiu-jitsu for a while. Well, not that long. I'm still a boot, in jiu-jitsu. But I see that in jiu-jitsu and other martial arts and people who start a business. So they don't try to start a career because they don't necessarily have skills, or maybe they do, but they want to invest more time in their business than into mm-hmm. their career. So they just get a job that pays the bills and funds their, you know, their venture, whatever that is. And both are, you know, totally legitimate ways of doing it. It depends on the individual person. But I'm trying really hard to advance my career.
Well, and that's good too, because, you know, should you find that this is, you know, entrepreneurship is not the thing that you want to do, you haven't closed any doors and you have those options and you have a nice cushion too. If sales dry up on your product, you have a thing to fall back on, and, you know, your bills still can be paid, the lights stay on, food still gets on the table and everything like that, because you at least have that background.
Yeah. There's like this jacked up, like romanticized vision of what an entrepreneur is. And, you know, this may have been true years ago, decades ago, where people like sell all of their shit and live in their car for X amount of time. And then their company takes off and they're millionaires. And if you have that vision in your head, just like, don't do it.
Right.
That's not a good way of going about entrepreneurship at all. It, you know, people have done it and become millionaires probably. And like, you know, one in a million people. So right. And if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, it's not going to be you. So don't fucking do it.
Yeah. I mean, they've also done it and they've crashed and burned and made nothing. And so,
yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a stat out there, a basic stat, 9 out of 10 startups fail. And it's for a reason. And I've started to see why that happens going through my business. There's so many issues along the way. But having said that, one of the things that I heard and learned in one of my classes is that many investors won't give you funding unless you have a failure under your belt. So it's not like you need to try to fail. It's that it's going to be really difficult to succeed if you don't fail and learn from it.
Right.
You gotta feel out the friction points.
And I think a lot of education comes from the failures that you have. You know, a lot of
if you do it right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully you learn something from the failures. There's a lot of potential, I should say, in learning when you do fail, if you're open, receptive to it, and you don't have a big ego and say, oh, well, this is someone else's problem and it's not my problem. You know, chances are you contributed something to the problem at somewhere along the line. And so if you can learn from those mistakes, I think that that's a great way for you to grow as a person, as an entrepreneur, as a employee, whatever the case may be. If you can learn from those mistakes, like anything, you're going to be better off.
I think the biggest learning points that I had, and they were kind of mistakes, you know, not irreversible, but the biggest mistakes in friction points that I ran into, it's like a major culture shock. In the military, it's people's jobs to help you. And almost all the time, they help you because it's their job. And in the real world, that is not the case. You always have to think, how can I get them to want to help me or work with me? Because their mindset is, what's in it for me? Why would I do business with you? Right. So you have to position yourself so that it's mutually beneficial. And I thought that, you know, I was working with a supplier. I thought that, you know, would this person not want my money? Why aren't they working with me? And the reason is because they could do this. They could make this sale and then never see me again. So it wasn't really worth their time to do this small ticket sale. Right. So I've got to work harder on my end and, understand that that's why they're not paying attention to me or putting effort into, you know, making a sale to me. I'm the little guy and, you know, I haven't proven that I'm, you know, worth their time yet, really.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's a good lesson that you took away from that, you know, if you want to call that a failure, you know, you've taken that lesson away. And now you know there's something that you need to work on. And there you go. Now you can work on it and improve yourself, improve your positioning and everything like that. So let's talk about some of the career resources that are out there. I know you when we spoke the other day, you said you had taken advantage of a few different career resources and other programs that are out there. What were some of those resources? How do they help you, and how'd you come about those?
Yeah, sure. Let's start with, I'll count education resources as career resources.
Yeah. I think like that, so I'll go, kind of broad category. Yeah. All of those. Yeah.
So I'll go in order the ones that I came across from when I got out. So if you're looking to use the GI Bill, and you know, it caps at something like in-state tuition for public schools. And then if your school costs more than that, it's either out of pocket or they could opt to participate in the Yellow Ribbon program. So what I recommend is just searching Yellow Ribbon schools and find out which Yellow Ribbon programs offer 100% coverage of the difference. So, or go to a school that is, you know, a public school, so it's covered anyway. So that, you know, that way you're not paying out of pocket. So I went to, you know, I'm going to Pepperdine right now, and they are a 100% Yellow Ribbon school. So even though they're incredibly expensive, that difference between what the GI Bill covers and what my tuition is covered 100% by the Yellow Ribbon program. So that's a basic resource that may get overlooked. Don't be worried about how much your school is going to cost. You can find one that is going to be free for you. While in school, I highly recommend at least inquiring about any kind of veteran organization in the school, because there's useful networking opportunities there and resources. And it could be something as simple as tutoring, could be a social activity, whatever. And, you know, one major issue is that many veterans, or any underrepresented group for that matter, they don't always want to disclose their status. So basically people don't want to broadcast that they are a veteran. That's fine. You don't have to, but at least inquire about a veteran club or organization on campus. Most schools have one, most of the big schools for sure. As far as companies, and you know, after you're done with school, the kind of resources that I've ran into is well, first of all, let me back up. I've been reading this research paper on veterans integrating into the workforce, specifically in management roles, but it covers a little bit broader than just management roles. And what they found was, like I mentioned before, many veterans don't want to disclose their status, but this goes for underrepresented groups, period. Whatever kind of minority group you belong to, in general, they do not feel comfortable or as good of, you know, as integrated, as properly integrated. They're just, their mindset isn't right when they're in an organization where there's no one else like them.
Right.
So having said that, I recommend just doing a simple Google search, and something, you know, some great lists and articles will come up on just veteran friendly companies. And you may think it's kind of cheesy, but I recommend it just for that simple matter. There, when you're in an organization where if you might be the only veteran, the communication is going to be a lot different, and their leadership style is going to be a lot different. And those things are going to make the conversations go a lot different than you want and that you're used to. And your satisfaction with, you know, where you're working and your company culture is going to be like pretty low. I ran into that issue myself. So yeah, the strong recommendation, go where veterans are, like, at least if they make an attempt to be a veteran friendly organization where they like hiring veterans, you still don't have to identify as a veteran and be some, you know, motard, you know, wearing like pins on your shirt and stuff to work. You know, you don't have to do that, but you may be happier in a place like that. Having said that, there's many veteran internships out there. So I'm in one right now, actually, at Oracle. And they call it Oracle Veteran Internship Program, and it's specifically designed for transitioning veterans. And it's a great experience because most veterans have zero corporate experience.
Right.
You know, probably 99% have zero corporate experience. So it's like a major sort of introduction to the corporate world. Like, and you know, is this a good fit for you? Can we find a different team that's a good fit for you? Here's how company culture is here, and things like that. Right. And it's a paid internship, you know. With that Google search, I can't even give you a list because there's so many out there. Just look for veteran internship programs. I think that would be seriously valuable to you. And that's another indicator that they're a veteran-friendly company that you might want to be at.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a good way to start, because, you know, some of these organizations may not be in your local area. Like you said, geography was a big thing for you. You wanted to be, closer to, you know, where you grew up and everything. And, if that's your case and you want to be in that same geographic area, you know, look for, veteran-friendly companies or veteran internship programs or whatever the search phrase that you want to use for whatever you're looking for in your local area. You know, add New York or LA or Phoenix or Dallas, whatever the case may be. You know, put in the appropriate geographic location and see what comes up. And I'm sure there's going to be a nice long list of
Definitely. The one I'm in is online. It's virtual. And mm-hmm. you have a better chance of finding one that now that most positions are virtual, especially at corporations. Good point.
I didn't even realize that, but it does make sense that virtual is an option now too. Maybe geography doesn't matter quite as much. So you can live close to where you grew up or wherever you're comfortable with living, and if you can find a nice remote opportunity, that would probably be even better. So that way you don't have to necessarily worry about the geography aspect of it, and potentially even live in a area that has a lower cost of living and, still getting paid, a decent wage from, some of these corporate salaries and stuff. So that could even be a better way to look at it too.
So I actually, there's different career paths out there and, many of them are totally legit. But with that, I did some research because, I got tagged in this 22 push-ups video challenge for veteran suicide. And I just made a different video. I said, I'm not doing any dumbass push-ups. The awareness is there. Well, the awareness is there among veterans. I don't think it's fully there among, all society, but there's sufficient awareness to where we need to start doing things other than being aware. So I made a video, I did some research and found some basic troubleshooting checklist. Like, dude, if you feel like shit, if you're feeling depressed, here's some things that you should troubleshoot, like ask myself. So basically things that contribute negatively to mental health is maintaining healthy friendships or, failing to do so, mm-hmm. Maintaining or pursuing an intimate relationship, having a reasonable career that offers structure, hierarchy, and routine. That can be a kind of a big one. And that's why I'm, trying to talk about career so much, because that it's not going to fully replace, but it can certainly fill some of your needs from that you got from the military with the structure, the hierarchy, and something where you can advance in if it's that kind of a career.
And it gives you a sense of purpose too.
A sense of purpose, community, and all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, having an education that matches your intelligence. So you don't want to be smart and then not pursue an education. Having a hobby or some kind of good use outside of work. So I've got some I've got a few resources for my chosen hobby, which is jujitsu. And this is kind of a no-brainer, not abusing drugs or alcohol or, you know, watching your addictions, stop beating off, and, you know, maintaining relationships with your family and other sleep, diet, exercise, that type of thing. So that was like this basic ass list where you can just try and go down the list and see where you're struggling and just try to work on that. If, you know, you feel like shit, feeling down, just look at each of those things and try to work on the ones that you're lacking, and even work on the ones that you're good at already. So yeah, with the jujitsu thing or martial arts in general, there's first I'll say that if you do start a martial art, specifically jujitsu, I don't think there's anybody out there that regretted it. So that's for starters. Now, having said that, there's numerous veterans jujitsu type groups. Most of them are local, or many of them are local. For example, I'm in Austin right now. There's a Facebook group and an Instagram group. It's called Veterans Jujitsu. And I don't know what kind of legal entity, if they're an actual company or nonprofit or not, but basically they just offer free jujitsu classes for veterans at a different jujitsu gym around Austin each day of the week. And there's several others as well. There's a Facebook group called Where Veterans Train. And that's more of a national network of veteran jujitsu folks. And they've got a website, and DD214 Fightwear, I think, is the company name. They've got a website called DD214BJJ.com. And they've got a gym tracker. So you scroll down their menu, and they've got an option to locate gyms that are veteran friendly in one way or another. So they offer discounts to veterans, free classes, or if they contribute to a veteran based nonprofit, such as another one called the We Defy Foundation. That foundation is a jiu-jitsu nonprofit for veterans. Okay. So that's definitely one option that you have for as far as hobbies goes, but it's always good to suck at something new. And it's, you know, one of the reasons that veterans prefer jujitsu is A, it's still a way of, you know, being violent, and B, you know, even though many places, especially like the no-gi places, don't necessarily focus on the belt colors, there's still belts to look forward to getting promoted to. Mm-hmm. You know, my gym, it's a no-gi, so you're not wearing the belt on you. So there's not as much like hierarchy. I mean, there is, you know, who's better than you, you know, who can strangle you. But the social hierarchy is like not as strict.
Right.
But you know, the gi places, it is a bit more strict. You know, some of them, they bow before they get on the mat, and they call the instructor professor. And like some of them, you don't approach a higher ranking belt to roll. You don't ask them if you want to roll, you know, the higher ranking belt has to ask you. So that's a little bit more strict, you know, for the nerds that prefer that kind of military type stuff, go to a gi gym.
Mm-hmm. Well, that type of thing gives you, it kind of checks a few of the boxes. It gives you a goal to work towards, you know, if you're trying to advance your levels, you know, it takes care of your physical fitness. You know, that you definitely want to, you know, keep in shape to some extent if you're going to be doing that type of stuff. And all of that contributes towards your mental health, you know, and it's an activity that you can do outside of work, you know? So,
yeah.
Do you have any other advice that you might have for people who might be transitioning out of the military, you know, in the next few months, or even who just got out recently, as far as, you know, what kind of things worked for you? What kind of things didn't work for you, and how they can make that transition a little bit easier?
Yeah. Great question. I strongly advise you read books, you know, not shit that's on the Commandant's reading list, not war books. Read a variety of books of your choosing. And another strong recommendation. There's some really good science out there now on personalities and things like that. So I think you need to learn about yourself better and how you interact with society so that you can, you need to accurately assess where you are and what kind of a person you are in order to advance your position in society. If you think you're in one spot, but you're really in another, you're going to have a hard time navigating, you know, life because you're not,
right.
You don't have an accurate perception of yourself, or you just might not know like what kinds of like your personality, how that affects your relationships and what kinds of people you need to, or how you need to interact with other people. So that's probably my biggest recommendation. Learn, take some kind of personality, not like some dumbass Zodiac shit or like, you know, the, even the Myers-Briggs stuff is outdated and it's like pseudoscience. You're not going to find much out there. But this, so the, as far as I know, the latest, you know, science out there is, you know, one of the big five personality tests. I've taken one and I've learned some things about myself from there as far as like what I might need in my lifestyle. So that's a major one. And then make a plan with actionable goals. That's another good one that I haven't always done. In fact, this past year, so a year and 4 months ago, so Christmas 2019, I made like my first ever lifetime New Year's resolution, and it worked. I thought they were the dumbest things ever for my entire life, and then I decided to make a couple. You can't do them dumb, like some dumbass resolution, like I'm going to get in shape. Like, no, you're not, dude. That's not a good resolution. If you make something that's potentially challenging, you know, but some actionable goals, like mine were dumb, not dumb. They were simple, basic. And like, I'm going to start putting my laundry away immediately after it comes out of the dryer. And I did it. It worked. I made the resolution and I did it. I followed through. It's actionable and I can hold myself accountable and it wasn't overwhelming. I just like, you know, I just noticed that far too often I would leave it in the dryer or, you know, leave it on my bed or something. And that's some really basic thing that you can start with and then work to bigger goals. And then my other one was I wanted to read 12 books a year and, you know, I did it. So I broke it down. I just said, all right, I'm just going to average one book a month. But you can make really simple goals like that. They don't have to be New Year's resolutions, but do little things like that to improve your life and set career goals in general and work backwards. Envision what you want your life like and then work backwards to determine what steps are necessary to get there. And then start with, you know, the first step today or whatever, right, whatever step you're on. I mean, I think a lot of people don't do that. And once I began doing it that way, thinking about what kind of lifestyle do I want in 5 years or 10 years or whatever? Okay, well, what do I need to do to get there? There's some major things, some major milestones I need to hit, but what do I need to do today? What do I need to do this month, this year to make that happen?
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. And I think that's something that kind of comes from the military too. When you're planning out a mission or whatever, you do reverse plan, you know, when do I need to hit this objective or whatever, and you know, when do I have to, how long is it going to take me to get there, what supplies and resources do I need along the way, we need ammo, do we need food, do we, you know, what do we need?
That happens on a mission level, and it also happens on in your career in the military. There's like this entire like career path online. I don't know about other branches, but in the Marines we had, you know, Marine Online, mm-hmm. MOL.com, and it literally had your career path and what steps you need to take to like get there. What do they call it? All your like PME stuff, whatever. So you don't have that when you get out. So it would be beneficial to make your own career path like checklist and do some research, ask people, talk to people in, you know, whatever field you want to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you said too about the New Year's resolutions, you know, start with small goals, you know, and things that are easily achievable, but just hold yourself accountable to them. And if you're improving that one small area of your life, then your life is just that much better. And then you can build on that and add more things. And one other thing that you alluded to was you don't have to wait for the end of the year to make this New Year's resolution or the beginning of the year, whichever way you want to look at it. You can do it today and, you know, say, hey, I want to start doing this. I want to start, you know, putting the laundry away, or I want to start, start exercising more, or cleaning up the dishes after I'm done eating dinner, or something small like that. And it's going to improve your life just a little bit, but your life is still improving as a result. And so when those things become habit, it becomes easier to add on other good habits and just start improving your life overall.
You made a good point. Adding habits over time. So when it comes to setting goals and changing habits, if you do a big drastic thing, some people can do it. Like some people can quit smoking cold turkey, whatever. But most people, or change their diet, you know, losing weight. Most people have better success. For example, losing the weight, you know, instead of doing this major diet change overnight, you start with one thing and it's okay. Start portioning. So each of your meals, you just cut them out by 20%, 25%, and you do that for a month. Then the next month you add another habit in. So the next one, now you pay attention to what the food is. So now you cut out a little bit of this and you add a little bit of greens. And that's just another, you know, incremental habit that you build over time. And also with goals, they're more successful when you can quantify them and hold them accountable. So instead of making the goal to lose weight, you make the goal to go to the gym 4 times a week or 5 times a week. And then your real goal of losing weight will happen as a result of your numeric, you know, goal.
Right.
And we're like, you know, I want to get a black belt in jujitsu. Cool. How do you do it? Show up to jujitsu 5 days a week. That's the goal that to focus on. Cause when you slip up, it's fine. You get back in it the next week. You make it 5 times the next week.
Right. And you know, there's a book, that I've read, you're talking about reading books too, and it's called Atomic Habits. And it talks about making these small incremental changes, improving things. Like if you improve 1% a day, you know, over the course of a year, 2 years, 3 years, think about how drastically improved you'll be at the end of that time period in whatever area it is. You know, if you're trying to lose weight and you lose, you know, 1% of your goal, you know, the amount that you want to lose, and you keep doing that and add on over time, like those changes will end up taking place, faster than you would imagine. But if you're trying to do everything all at once, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose and you're just not going to be able to get it all done, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that was a long answer to the last question of any additional advice, but
that was good. I think that advice is good. And I think it certainly will be helpful for some people who are in that transition period, who really don't know, you know, what their life is going to look like in the next, over the next few years. And, you know, it's a good way to think about things and do that sort of planning that we were talking about to figure out what their career goals are, their family goals, their, personal goals and stuff, how they want to see their life and kind of reverse plan from there. So that way they're hitting that goal and that gives them something to strive for and gives them that sense of purpose that they may not realize it yet, but they're going to be missing, after transitioning out of them.
Yeah. And that brings up another point. On average, it takes veterans 3 to 5 years to transition out. So to feel a little bit more comfortable in your new life. So yeah, don't stress if you're feeling whack when you get out for a couple of years. It's normal, you know, it does get better. You just, your brain's getting used to things. I'm coming up on, maybe I'm at 5 years. Yeah, I'm at 5 years. So I've got no more excuses.
Well, I mean, it seems like you've got a lot of, you know, good advice. You've got your head on right as far as, you know, your career goals and, you know, educational goals and stuff. And you're moving in the right direction anyway. So I really do appreciate the advice and the information that you shared today. I'm sure a lot of the listeners are going to be able to take away a lot of good information from you here. And I'll have some of the resources that you mentioned, you know, the Yellow Ribbon Program, the you know, the veteran internship programs and stuff like that. I'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes. So anyone who's listening to this, you can find out a little bit more about all of these opportunities and the resources that are available. Before we go and we wrap this up, I do want to give you an opportunity. You did talk a little bit briefly about your business, but if you want to, you know, promote that a little bit, talk a little bit about that business and, you know, what it's all about and where people can go to find out more about it, you know, and get in touch with you or buy your products if they're
yeah,
in the market
sure.
for them.
So I just started doing jiu-jitsu, and I had this class project for my entrepreneur class, and I bought a massage gun because my neck gets cranked on every day and there was no way of, you know, reaching my back muscles. So I invented a mounting bracket so you can attach a massage gun to your doorway or a squat rack or a pole or something like that. And it holds it in place firmly so you can target your back muscles solo. I've gotten feedback from females that they use it for other purposes. That's cool too. But that's how I use it. And that's how most of my customers use it. So yeah, it's called Mantis Mount, MANTISMOUNT. That's my Instagram handle. That's the website, mantismount.com. For, you can get a veteran discount if you're active duty, all caps, active duty Chad will get you, a military discount. If you're a veteran, all caps, bro vet will get you a veteran discount. Or to be honest, just hit me up. I'll probably send you one for free, you know, whatever. So that's my original product. And I've got a prototype going on right now for version 2 based on customer feedback. And I'm looking to, you know, take out a loan to scale it up because it's all being funded organically right now by, you know, self-funding. And I've got another product coming out that I'm prototyping as well. That is like a do-it-yourself squat rack kit, so that you would just have to buy a few things at the hardware store, and then the metal racks and all the mounting hardware and hinges I would provide in a kit for you. So stay tuned for that. I only thought of it a year too late. You know, I'd be a fucking millionaire right now if I thought of it at the beginning of COVID. But I didn't have a garage at the beginning, so I didn't have this need. You know.
Right.
You know, businesses solve problems, and I didn't have that problem because I was in an apartment at the time. So,
yeah, and a lot of times the best products come from scratching your own itch, because if you're having that problem and yeah. There's not a product out there that solves the problem that you're having, you figure out a way to create the product that'll solve the issue, and then you have that light bulb moment where the light bulb goes off, and you say, "Well, geez, maybe someone else would use this too," you know.
Yeah, definitely. That's how both my products came about. So if you happen to be entrepreneur minded, you know, my MBA concentration, I'm not done yet. I've got one more class, but is entrepreneurship. So I've got a lot of textbook knowledge as well as practical experience and knowledge in, you know, that area. So if you have any questions on that, on how to go about starting a business or anything, like if you got a product invention, I'm working on making an online class on like a, put up on a Teachable platform or Udemy. They're like mm-hmm. platforms where you can pay to, you can sell your class and people will pay to take this course. I'm making a class right now called like Prototyping Bootcamp, where I'm going to get into like how you go about prototyping a new product if you have no idea where to start, and how to go about designing it and doing it for as inexpensively as possible. So determining product feasibility as quickly and inexpensively as possible before you invest too much time and money into it. So you could know, sometimes the right answer is no, do not make this product, shut it down. It's not going to sell.
Right.
So you, this is what this course is going to be about. But if you're listening to this, just shoot me an email or a DM on Instagram. My my personal Instagram is James_Dunny, D-U-N-N-Y. Just send me a DM on Instagram. And I don't know, if you get like a million listeners by the time this episode airs, I'm going to regret this. But for right now, I think I can handle the influx of DMs on inquiries on like starting businesses.
Right.
Yeah, hit me up there. I'd love to talk and give you, it would be offering you different ways of looking at your problems, not necessarily telling you how to run your business.
No, that's, I think, a great thing to offer. And I don't think you're going to be inundated with millions of DMs on Instagram here, but I'm sure some people will probably take advantage of it and reach out and let you know that they have a product idea, or they're looking for a little bit of advice or whatever. And I think that that's another great resource.
Product or service, any kind of business. You know, we can talk about it. And if you don't know where to start, or if you have started, you don't know where to go next, or if you just want a different viewpoint, yeah, hit me up.
Awesome. Well, I'll have links to your website and Instagram account and all your socials and everything. So, you know, people who are looking to reach out later on, you know, when this episode comes out, we can link to you there, and you can find how to reach James and chat with him about business, or, you know, whatever else you guys think might make sense to chat about. So, James, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today. You know, I think you've shared an awful lot of advice and resources with people I think really will be helpful. So I want to thank you for taking the time to join me and chat about all this stuff.
Yeah, Scott, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.